Hey, we're all looking to save, especially on medical bills, but where do you start? Now, unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings, well, it can seem impossible. HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance, and they flag errors like overbilling or wrong codes and fraud. And you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, saving starts with knowing where to look. Go to their website. It's healthlock.com today before you see any other healthcare provider. Pure Talk, my sponsor and my wireless company, are now providing international roaming to over 50 countries. Now, as you plan your summer travel, make sure that your wireless company covers you at home and abroad. Now you can get unlimited talk and text, plenty of 5G data for just $20 a month. That's less than half the price of Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile for the exact same service. Just go to puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Make the switch today. Save an additional 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Hey, warmer days remind us of fond summer memories. Now you can make those moments year-round with the Michael Phelps Swim Spa by our friends at Master Spas, and that combines the leisure of a hot tub with the exercise benefits of a pool. Now, Master Spas technology is incredible with LED lighting, beautiful waterfalls, and those super powerful water jets installed in just one day. You're going to love it. Proudly made in America, use the promo code Hannity in the upper right-hand corner. That's masterspas.com for up to $1,000 off. You can exercise, relax, recover with the only hot tub and swim spa brand I trust, masterspas.com.
Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep-healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
All right, here we are, T-minus, well, less than 4 hours now till a scheduled vote on the health care bill, repeal and replace. That's going to be our top story today. Chuckie Schumer promising a filibuster. What a shock. I can tell you right now, the nuclear option will be used because it must be used because Republicans are, you know, in good faith, they say yes to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They know she's a left-wing radical activist that doesn't believe in separation of powers, co-equal branches of government. She's a judicial activist, believes in legislating from the bench. Same with Sonia Sotomayor. Same with Elena Kagan. Same with all of them on the left. It's now a 4-4 vote. So if the Republicans are not going to get the reciprocity that they give the Democrats, what's the point any longer? It's a facade. They're playing by a different set of rules. There is no intelligent reason at all to oppose Neil Gorsuch. All right, we'll get to that as the program unfolds today. Also, we have more on this blockbuster revelation by Devin Nunes. What's fascinating about it is the left's reaction. They can't handle it. They're angry. And the media, the same thing, because they've all been wrong for the longest time. And once again, Donald Trump turns out to be right. Okay, he said wiretapping. He didn't say surveillance. Okay, you got him. Is wiretapping surveillance? Does surveillance include other issues? Yeah, it does. Yeah. And if you're looking at the Trump server and you have our government recording phone conversations of the president-elect and his transition team and others, and whether or not it's done for legitimate reasons, I don't know. It should bother every American that believes in the right to privacy, that believes that the government should not be involved in unreasonable search and seizure, that believes in warrants being obtained before such listening, monitoring
happens. Now, if it does happen as a matter of course for the intelligence community, well, we do have protections known as minimization. We do have protections. You're not supposed to identify the person that is the American that you don't have the right to surveil, and you're certainly not allowed to leak the information. All right, so we'll get to all of that today. We've identified the London attacker. You know what's sad about this whole thing? So here it is, all yesterday, all over the news. It's basically nowhere today. Linda and I were talking about this. We have, you know, this has become a new normal that we ought not be accepting. You know, the first Muslim mayor of London ought not have stated this is the new normal. And that if you live in a big city, you're going to have to expect things like this to happen. It doesn't have to be that way. And we have real, real hard soul searching to do in this country about whether or not we are going to learn the mistakes of France and Great Britain and Germany and Belgium and all of Europe, the Islamization of Europe, and whether or not vetting refugees is at least a minor defense against inviting those with radical extremist views into the country, which is a privilege and it's not a right. Might want to inform some of these judges on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. You might want to inform some of these judges when they go out judge shopping. Anyway, we'll get to all of this from in the course of the program today. I want to start with where we are with the health care bill. So we're less than, about 3 hours and 50 minutes away from a scheduled vote tonight. And as of right now, I can tell you where we are. We don't have the votes. The president, the Republicans do not have the votes to pass this bill. And if I had to guess, probably in light of recent developments that I'll explain to you, probably you're going to get the vote to move forward. Now, one of the problems is, at the end of the day, what is healthcare going to look like in America? Well, this bill's not going to tell you that. This bill, you know, there's all sorts of some real and some imagined problems when you need 51 votes in the Senate, reconciliation, the issue of cloture, the issue of, you know, all of the Byrd rule, the issue of all of these things, which I'll get to in a second. That's all process and legitimate obstacles to any bill that you're going to have. And the Health and Human Services Secretary hopefully can explain all of this to us. As we speak, I can tell you I know the following is true, that the Freedom Caucus is meeting alone, together, and they're making a decision probably right now. They have spoken to the president numerous times today. The president has said to them that, again, this now has come out of the Rules Committee. The bill at this point is not going to change. There's no amendment to the rule that's going to be added to the bill that's going to be added at this late hour. I'm giving you all my inside sources. I've been working the phones all day here today. And I talked to many people in the White House, talked to many people in the Freedom Caucus. Exactly what are the obstacles? Where are we? What's happening? When can this? When will we know if this is going to get done? But as of right now, and it's, you know, 3 hours and 48 minutes away from a scheduled vote, they don't have the votes to pass the bill. That I know for a fact. At this very minute, the Freedom Caucus is uniting, and they're now trying to make a decision. What they have asked for is an ironclad promise from the president that the things that they have been requesting and have been shut out of the process from the beginning about, that the president says will happen in the final version of the bill. Because remember, this, as Tom Price said, this is a three-phase process for the bill. That's why I can't sit here, and anyone that says they can sit here on air and tell you everything that's ultimately going to be in this bill, that's not how sausage is made or legislation happens. And Tom Price said that full repeal of Obamacare will happen, meaning the actual repeal of the parts that matter and put vulnerable people at risk. And he said what that does is place, you know, at the end of the day, free markets are the answer to this whole problem to begin with. But let me start backwards and work from there. Before they ever let this bill out, this is where the problem began. Before they ever rolled out this bill, they never consulted with some of the best, brightest, and I'm talking about Congress, because, you know, for 8 long years, we've heard repeal and replace, repeal and replace, repeal and replace. One of my biggest criticisms is, yeah, they voted to repeal Obamacare 50 times. Even President Obama started making fun of it because they wanted to go home to their districts and they wanted to be able to say they voted for repeal. I'm being very real here now. They were not votes to really repeal it. They were show votes. They were votes to be able to go home to their districts and say they voted to repeal Obamacare. And they did. In fact, they did. But it had no meaning because it never was going anywhere. Now, one of the reasons Ted Cruz in 2013, when he went to filibuster, Ted Cruz was trying to get Congress to use their enumerated power of the purse to stop funding Obamacare as a means of actually putting some teeth into what it is that they're promising. And then, of course, he was ostracized and there were predictions that, well, the Republicans will lose the Senate and won't win the Senate in 2014. And none of that came true. It was a banner year in 2014. And Ted Cruz rose to the point where he was probably the most popular senator in Washington, D.C. for taking that stand and being willing to use the power of the purse. Now, there's two different factions that are opposing the bill. This is a real challenge for the president, a real challenge for the speaker. You have moderates in districts that Hillary Clinton won, but the Republican won a House seat. It's about 20-some-odd members in that category. Then you have the Freedom Caucus, which has anywhere between 31 and 40 votes strong, and they're pledging to unite together whichever way they end up coming out of this meeting today. I have to assume that they're probably going to be united. And the problem began at the very beginning. And you know what? I don't really care what the moderates have to say, because as far as I'm concerned, they're just thinking about themselves. They're thinking about their reelection. They're just worried that Hillary won their district. Well, what's more important, the future of the country getting this right or their reelection? I'm really not sympathetic to the idea that they need to get reelected or anybody needs to get reelected, because their job is to serve the American people. So, you know, I'm sure there are things that you can offer moderates. They're not organized like the Freedom Caucus. You know, you could probably say, OK, well, we'll go campaign for you, or we'll run ads in your district. You know, the same type of garbage insider horse trading that goes on every day. But the more important issue here is whatever happens today and tonight, this can't happen anymore. They had 8 long years and they never consulted with Heritage Action. Heritage Action has been against us when it was laid out. Or the Cato Institute. That's where Patient Power was written. Musgrave and Goodman. That talked about health care savings accounts, which is a part of this bill. But they were not consulted. Americans for Prosperity were not consulted. Their approval was not given. You know, same with the Club for Growth. They're smart people at all these places. FreedomWorks, same thing. Then the study group, which is a more moderately conservative group, but full of good conservatives like Marsha Blackburn, they had to be sold on the bill. And certain promises, I guess, were made to them. Now, I know for a fact that Paul Ryan, up until just the last 48 hours, hadn't talked to the Freedom Caucus, the conservative bloc that is the biggest threat to this bill, in over 3 weeks. Now, that to me is unforgivable. They didn't consult them in the beginning. They didn't consult them during the process. They were told at different points this is going to be a binary take it or leave it bill. You don't get any input. You don't get to make amendments. And they were treated horribly, in my opinion. Not by the president, by the way. They'll tell you the president has reached out again and again and again and using every negotiating skill that he has to try and get this done. You know, and then to hear over and over again, we're going to lose moderates. Well, you're giving moderates too much power. That's not Donald Trump's base. And by the way, they were left in the dark, too. Nobody knew what was in the bill until they finally rolled it out. And everything they thought was in there, that they suspected it was in there, that they were going to pose that was in there, ended up being in there. And what's so frustrating about it, they had 8 years to prepare for this moment. They look like the gang that can't shoot straight. It's so pathetic to watch this. The intramural fighting that's been going on TV. It looks like they're not prepared to lead. They could have had a consensus bill. They could have fought this out before the rollout. They could have fixed this in a way that would have. It's never going to be perfect. It's just not, because people have different agendas. And now they put the president in the position. He's got to do all the heavy lifting. And if the bill doesn't work out, he's going to own what they did. So he's not in an enviable position here. You know, now they're going to move forward with budget bills, tax reform bills. You know, if they handle it the same way, they're just going to double down on stupid. And they're going to continue to look like the gang that can't shoot straight, that is not prepared to leave in any way. And I say, before any rollout, maybe you can check in with these smart groups like Heritage, Cato, AFP, and the Club for Growth. You know, maybe you can talk to the conservative caucus. Maybe you can talk to the study group. Maybe you could talk to innovative healthcare providers like Josh Umber, Dr. Umber of Atlas MD, like we've been putting on the program. You know, maybe you can talk to people that understand tax reform and the implications if you drop the corporate rate to 15, 16, 17%. Then you can have all these agreements in principle. You work it out behind closed doors, and then you roll it out as a team that's united, and you claim the win. Now it's come down to a last minute, I don't have a clue what's going to happen. Now, you know, you could put Senate and House members on the same page. You can do all, there's so many things that you can do differently here. I've told you I'm holding these guys accountable. That's what I'm doing. They've screwed it up. Doesn't mean it's not going to work out the right way, but it means they've screwed up the process and they look stupid. Anyway, we'll get back to this in a minute. It's our top story. We'll be following it all day. The Health and Human Services Secretary, Tom Price, is here. We have Freedom Caucus members coming up in the course of the program. We are going to get into the Devin Nunez revelations and also...
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-81-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call.
877-81-STEEL. That's 877-817-8335.
Now, why am I going back to the process here? Because, you know something, there's a better way to govern. There's a better way to serve your constituents than rolling out a bill that nobody's seen, that you know is going to be opposed, that results in intramural squabbling all over TV and radio, and having had 8 years to do it, it's almost so unforgivable to me, and it's inexplicable. I can't justify or explain why anybody would ever do anything in such a manner. Now, a part of me wants to rant and rave and be angry, but that's not going to help anything. I'm trying to offer practical solutions and a roadmap to success, with the goal being that we have the best plan that best serves the American people, which is why I keep putting on Dr. Umber. Atlas MD, $50 a month, unlimited care, concierge care for every adult, man and woman. And that means everything. 95% reductions as it relates to x-rays and MRIs and pharmaceuticals. He takes care of everything in the office. Kids are 10 bucks a month. They've duplicated that nearly 1,000 times around the country. It offers care. You have 24-hour service. You have a good doctor who also has created an incredible business model. Any real solution to healthcare is going to be rooted in the free market. Healthcare savings accounts, particularly, look, I'm older now, but if I was 25, 30, 18, and I could start a healthcare savings account and put tax-deductible money in there all year, every single working year of my life, and build up, get my checkup once a year, once every 2 years, you know, it'll pay for my colonoscopy if I need that. But then when I really need health care, it's there for me. And then I can choose my doctor, my hospital that I prefer. And then you add catastrophic care for bad accidents, cancer, heart attacks, anything that's prohibitively expensive. You know what? It's the perfect solution. It's free market. and supply and demand crisscross equal price, the insurance companies with the best plans at the lowest price will get your business. Simple. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. It looks like the healthcare vote is not going to take place tonight. I've been getting mixed messages all throughout this hour, and I didn't want to bring it up until, let's see, Jamie Dupree. Let's see, he was outside the Freedom Caucus meeting. Hard to see a vote tonight, but anything remains possible, he says. I think I actually agree with Jamie. I think there's still a slight outside chance, although both Fox News and CNN are saying no vote tonight on the health care bill. Mike Emanuel just sent me a note. The House currently stands in recess. Members are advised that procedural votes are expected in the House this evening at roughly 8 p.m. Members are further advised that votes are now expected tomorrow. Okay, so I'm guessing that they're just pushing this off. Look, I want to make sure, am I making this clear what I'm saying, Linda? Because this is more complicated than I think people understand. I want to be very clear what I'm trying to explain to you here, because there's a part of me that's really, really angry. Because it didn't have to look like this, and it didn't have to be like this. You know, and by the way, I like the Freedom Caucus. We've had these guys on for a reason, because these guys are the most conservative in the House. And these guys are principled conservatives. And these guys were left out of the process. And so at the last hour, when they need their votes, because they're saying, well, we need these things to be able to go back to our homes and tell our constituents that we kept our word and we did what we said we're going to do, well, they should have been consulted in the beginning. So, you know, and I really don't care about moderate Republicans that are in districts that Hillary Clinton won, because it sounds to me like they want to keep Obamacare. And Obamacare light is not the answer. Their districts didn't vote for the president. That's not the people that support the president here. So anyway, late last night, just to give you a timeline of what happened, and we had Mark Meadows on the program last night. He had a private meeting with the president, and he struck a deal in principle with the president. And then it turns out that they had to walk back part of the deal. And I'm told two different stories here. One is because reconciliation, that process got in the way of what the deal was. And then I was told later this afternoon, well, they can't because the Rules Committee couldn't meet again. Their Rules Committee work was done. And it turns out, well, now if they have more time, the Rules Committee can get back in session and they can work on the adjustments and the changes that is going to make this bill more free market, that is more in line with the promises that the president makes and that the congressmen have made to their constituents. I don't really care about the time. If you get it done today, tomorrow, next week, next month, it really doesn't matter as long as you get it done right, because at the end of the day, getting it right is what matters. Now, you know, I've got to explain things to some of you. For example, a lot of you don't know that Obamacare was passed through a process that is known as reconciliation. Now, that was a process, if you want the history of it, it was established in the Congressional Budget Act of 1974. And what it basically means is Congress changes existing laws to conform tax and spending levels to the level set in a budget resolution. And changes recommended by committees pursuant to a reconciliation instruction are incorporated into a reconciliation measure. Now, the problem with this is it's not designed to pass major pieces of legislation. Remember, Scott Brown was supposed to be the vote against that would have killed Obamacare. But then rather than use the normal process of passing a bill, well, Obama did what he always does, you know, makes new rules up as he goes. And they passed the health care bill by reconciliation. And in other words, directing one or more committees to report or submit to the budget committee legislation that changes existing law in order to bring spending and revenues or the debt limit into conformity with the budget resolution. So it's basically a budget bill, and it specifies which committees to which they apply, and it indicates the appropriate dollar changes. But the problem is what you do is they try to push legislation through it, and then it's got certain procedural difficulties. It's a real problem. You know, and that's having only 52 Republican senators represents a challenge in the Senate. So they're not just thinking about the House vote here. They're thinking about the Senate vote. And then you got the Byrd rule, which is a rule in the Senate that amends the Budget Act to allow senators during the reconciliation process to block a piece of legislation if it purports significantly to increase the federal deficit beyond a 10-year term or in extraneous ways as set forth in the Budget Act. So that's a consideration, again, when you get to the Senate. The Senate was supposed to start on health care next week. Then you have cloture. What's cloture? If you hear these words being thrown around, cloture is the only procedure by which the Senate can vote to place a time limit on consideration. In other words, you need 60 votes. In other words, to overcome a filibuster. And under the cloture rule, the Senate may limit consideration of a pending matter to 30 additional hours, but only by a vote of 3/5 of the full Senate, which is 60 votes. Now, for example, Chuck Schumer is threatening to filibuster. And if they don't invoke, if they don't invoke the nuclear option, then they would otherwise need 60 votes to have an up or down straight vote for Neil Gorsuch. I'm not trying to drag you into the weeds here. I'm just not. Anyway, so they're now reporting that there won't be a vote tonight, but they will be available for some votes, procedural votes, I guess, at 8 o'clock tonight. So I guess by the time we're on the air tonight, things will be rocking and rolling there in some way, shape, matter, or form. But the problem is this, and I want to be really clear. After 8 long years of saying repeal and replace, and this is where I really want to rant, but it's not going to be helpful. After 8 long years, for them to follow the role, and this is the legislative branch. Remember, I promised to all of you that I'm going to be an honest broker, that we're holding them accountable. And we can't hold them accountable on this healthcare disaster, really, at this point, unless we go back and understand where the mistakes were made. So I'm trying to explain that to you. So when you're going to roll out a bill, but you haven't spoken with the Freedom Caucus, and by the way, there were Republicans that went against Reagan in the early 80s. Remember, Reagan gave us tax cuts, and then he wanted an adjustment to raise taxes. There were many Republicans on principle that said no. When George Herbert Walker Bush wanted to break his no new tax pledge, guys like Newt Gingrich said no. And he was forever hated by George H.W. Bush thereafter. And remember, the Democrats pushed and pushed, and he said he wouldn't do it, and he did it. It ended up costing him re-election and giving us Bill Clinton. When you make a promise matters. But what a better way to have handled this would have been, instead of doing this secretively and excluding Heritage Foundation, the Cato Institute, Americans for Prosperity, the Club for Growth, the Republican Study Group, the Freedom Caucus Group, and even the moderates, to be fair, they should have all been consulted, and they should have built a want list, and they should have put in the list everything every group needed to pass it. Everybody's not going to get everything they want, but it should have been known, and it should have been negotiated behind closed doors, and the bill should have been drafted with the consensus of trying to get as many Republicans on board as possible, but also provide the best bill for the American people. And so it ends up being a bill not supported by any of the major conservative libertarian think tanks, a bill that is not supported by the most conservative groups in Congress. Certain changes were made last minute. I think the moderates were wielding way too much power in this process. You know, when a bill is immediately labeled Obamacare light, that's a problem. Watching Republicans after 8 years have a public intramural fight on TV, I thought it looked horrible. To me, it looked like they weren't prepared to lead. You know, they had 8 years to prepare for this moment. Every influential conservative radio host, the president's speaking. Let's listen.
Let's listen.
First of all, I want to thank you for your support on health care. That's been great. I know you had a big problem with Obamacare. And everybody does. So welcome to the crowd. But I very much appreciate you being here, and I very much appreciate your support. I'm honored to welcome all of the many truckers and the trucking industry leaders to the the White House. And I must say, you know, really, you are the leaders. You are the big ones. I'm very impressed that I was able to get you. I think it was the White House that was able to get you. No one knows America like truckers know America. You see it every day, and you see every hill, and you see every valley, and you see every pothole in our roads that have to be redone, right? Every town, every forest, from border to border to ocean, it's true. It's true. And you love America, and you love the spirit, and we love your spirit, and we want to thank you very much, because very special people. Through day and night and all kinds of weather, truckers course the arteries of our nation's highways. You carry anything and everything, the food that stocks our shelves, the fuel that runs our cars, and the steel that builds our cities. You think I wrote that? Yeah, bad. Save that. I want to save that paragraph. But America depends on you. And you work very hard for America. Many of you spend weeks away from your families doing what can sometimes be a very difficult and dangerous job, to put it mildly. But you take care of yourselves, you look out for your friends, and you don't stop until the job is done. That's true. Obamacare has inflicted great pain on American truckers.
So
many of you were forced.
We brought you the beginning of that tape playback because we wanted you to hear that the president.
All right, there's Shep Smith. All right, so not really a whole lot on this. So, look, there's a way to fix it, and I'm offering solutions. You know, there's been very, as I said, as somebody that is now, I've done so many deep dives into alternatives that work, like Dr. Umber, Atlas MD, and concierge care at $50 a month per adult, $10 for children, unlimited care, unlimited access, 90% reductions, 95% reductions in pharmaceuticals and stitches, and that's all included in broken bones and MRIs and X-rays. And it's pretty amazing new developments. Now, I think at the end of the day, we'll get there. I'm hopeful because so many people are now becoming aware of it because we just keep hammering it and bringing it home. But you know something, I will say that, you know, as we move forward fixing this bill and then the budget bills and then the tax reforms bills, you know, I'd say before maybe we can learn something and not handle it this way, because that would be doubling down on stupid, in my opinion. And before any rollout, hang on. I can't hear. What?
POTUS is now going to talk about health care.
All right, the president's now. Let's listen to the president.
On the Obamacare exchanges, you experienced a crippling rise in premiums and a dramatic loss in options. And you just take a look at what's happened to the costs, and it's incredible. You look at what's going on with deductibles, where they're through the roof. So essentially, you don't have it, because hopefully you'll never have to use it, because you won't have that kind of injury or sickness. So you know the problems. And it's put a lot of the trucking businesses out of business, which is pretty tough. In addition, many union drivers are slated to have their plans taxed to pay Obamacare, and they've been against it for a long period of time. And trucking companies that are considered large employers have to offer government-mandated health insurance. You have the mandate that just doesn't work for them. You're forced to do things that you don't want to do. Today, the House is voting to repeal and replace the disaster known as Obamacare. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a very close vote. After we repeal and replace Obamacare, and by the way, it's close not because Obamacare is good. It's close for politics. They know it's no good. Everybody knows it's no good. It's only politics, because we have a great bill, and I think we have a very good chance, but it's only politics. After we repeal and replace Obamacare, we're going to do everything we can to make sure truckers stay busy moving American goods made by American companies and workers. Big difference out there now, don't you think?
Yeah.
Big difference. We will rewrite our broken tax code and fix our terrible trade deals. We will also eliminate job-killing regulations.
All right, the president's moving off health care, so let me just go here and just say that it looks like the vote is going to take place tomorrow. I think I understand why, and that is that the final wording, it might go back to the Rules Committee, and or the letter from Tom Price, who's going to join us at the top of the hour, that is going to the Freedom Caucus. By the way, the Freedom Caucus, I think, is in the great tradition of really, you know, those Republicans that opposed Reagan or George W. or Herbert Walker Bush when he was breaking his no new tax pledge.
That's the way it's made. And for those of you that think this is a bad thing, you're wrong. This is actually a good thing. But there's lessons certainly to be learned here. And hopefully they will learn them. All right, 800-941-SHAWN. You know, I saw my buddy Mike Lindell when I was in Chicago last night, the inventor of MyPillow. I literally said to him, I've never slept better. Thank you for inventing this pillow. And I now have my Go Anywhere pillows, and I actually took it on the plane, and nobody saw it. It was in my bag. I squished it in, and I pulled it out, and I absolutely slept like a baby. It was great. Anyway, you can get your very own MyPillow, MyPillow.com, or call 800-919-6090. Mention my name, Hannity. Mike has a special four-pack deal going on now. 40% off two MyPillow premiums, two Go Anywhere pillows. MyPillow made right here in the USA. U.S. jobs, 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Or you can spend more sleepless nights as staring at the ceiling with a pillow that doesn't work. Or do what I did. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Get Mike's special four-pack, and you get the two MyPillow premium pillows. You get two Go Anywhere pillows. Those pillows arrive. You start getting the kind of peaceful, restful, comfortable, deep-healing, recuperative sleep you've been craving, and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. The Secretary, Health and Human Service Secretary, Tom Price, next.
Sean Hannity.
My right shoulder with a big knife. I just started plunging it into the policeman. I've never seen anything like that. I just can't believe it.
Our job is to do just what Mark Meadows said, to do what we told the American people we were going to do when they gave us the privilege to serve. And this bill doesn't do that. This bill does not repeal Obamacare.
Holding them accountable. Sean gets the answers no one else does.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
We burning down the night, shooting bullets at the moon, baby. This is how we roll.
Sean Hannity. New Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America. Breaking news now. Here's Sean Hannity.
So here's what I'd like to ask you all to do, is give it up for our law enforcement officers and say thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, so here we are tonight continuing to debate this in good faith, not only with our own conference, but certainly with the president engaged. We have not gotten enough of our members to get to yes at this point under what we're currently considering. However, I would say progress is being made, and that progress that is being made is should be applauded with the efforts of the White House to try to not only deliver on a campaign promise, but to deliver lower premiums for every American from coast to coast and in between.
How would you describe it?
And so I would say that at this point, the president's engagement is unparalleled, and I believe, in the history of our country, to actually engage a number of members, whether they be moderates or conservatives. And I think it's indicative of just a president that wants to solve problems. Even meeting with somebody like Elijah Cummings on drug prescription drug cost and price. I mean, what he said today in the meeting was he singled out Elijah Cummings and said he wants to work on an issue for a Democrat. This is a president that wants to get things done. And so I can tell you the Freedom Caucus is committed to working with the president to get this done. This artificial deadline that we have at this particular point of a vote tonight actually is something that we imposed on ourselves. And so I'm very encouraged and optimistic that if we continue to work together, and by that we plan to reach out to some of the members of the Tuesday group, to have some real discussions on how we can come together and have consensus, realizing there's different motivations for different members of our conference. And so,
aren't you handing the president a loss?
Allie, what's the procedure now going forward to try to, what's the sort of, where
think,
are the discussions take
think,
place, what's on the table?
I think the procedures for going forward are still fundamental, and they have not changed for the last couple of weeks. If we can make sure that there is an adequate safety net, that pre-existing conditions are taken care of, where truly premiums start to go down for moms and dads, that's what it's all about. And I can tell you that that's what I heard over and over again, was does this bill actually lower premiums significantly enough to make a real difference for people that are struggling to pay for health care? And I think that we have that at the very core of where we are.
And you're still not by the conventional wisdom that there's a DOA in the Senate.
I've been having a number of discussions with my Senate colleagues, both some that are considered to be very conservative and some that are considered to be not as quite conservative. And I'm optimistic that we can find common ground with at least 51 or 52 senators in that way. I would be hopeful. Well, I won't even go there. We'll just say 51 or 52 senators.
Ms. Rose, what specifically did the White House put on the table that could get you to yes?
You know, really right now, in terms of talking about specifics of negotiations, I'm not going to do that. I can tell you, and that I know that that's what everybody wants to hear, is what would get you here. What we've communicated that very effectively with the president and his staff. But it's really not about what I want. It's about what those constituents want back home. And so in doing that, we started reviewing some of the text that the administration and our leadership has put forth. There were a number of questions in terms of what it did.
All right, let me just step in here because we have the Health and Human Services Secretary, Dr. Tom Price, on with us right now. I'm sorry to keep you, Mr. Secretary. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Sean. Wonderful to be with you.
All right, so the vote's pushed off to tomorrow. It seems like it's close. It seems like there are a few loose ends that need to be tied up. As I understood it, some of it was resolved earlier today, and there was going to be a letter that was given to the Freedom Caucus from you, signed by the president, a promise. Where are we with that?
Well, we're in the process of making certain that we get a bill and that we get a plan in place, not just this piece of legislation, but the kinds of things that we're able to do at the department and then further legislation after that that will solve the problem of increasing premium costs and lack of access to care that so many Americans see. So we're working through that with all members of the conference in the House of Representatives, and the president and I are optimistic and enthusiastic about the likelihood of this moving forward.
All right, let's talk about their very specific concerns and the things that you just heard from Congressman Mark Meadows. They have a voting block of anywhere between 30 and 40 members, and they are fighting for specific things. I understand that both the president, Mark Meadows, had a deal last night, and certain aspects of that deal were not doable because of the reconciliation issues that the Senate faces. So it was a little bit back to the drawing board that there was a meeting today, that the president got a lot of applause. You know, one of the things I know they're talking about is the Title I mandates. And dropping all of those things. Where do you think you need to go, and what areas need to be worked on to make this happen?
Well, I think what folks need is simply a confidence that we'll be able to, as an administration, given the passage of this bill and then the activities that we can do from an administrative standpoint, that we are going to get those done so that the premium costs come down and deductibles come down and people are able to have the kind of coverage that they want for themselves and their families, not that the government forces them to buy. And some of those things are the essential health benefits that are stipulated in the current law in Obamacare that make the costs of coverage to be so much greater than it otherwise ought to be, and make it so that many individuals out there have an insurance card, but they aren't getting the care that they need. And so that's one area. There are other areas about whether or not third parties ought to pay premiums, the kinds of things that the Department of Health and Human Services is able to look at in a constitutional, a legal, a methodical and logical way, pursuant to the Administrative Procedures Act, so that the American people are able to look at what we're proposing, have an opportunity to comment, have us respond and reply to those comments, and then move forward with these rules changes.
Let me ask you specifically. Go ahead, sir. I don't want to interrupt you.
What so many people remember are all of the hundreds, literally hundreds of rules and regulations that came forward from the previous administration. And we're going to look at every single one of them, as I think I told you before. 1,442 times in the previous legislation, in the ACA or the Obamacare legislation, 1,442 times it said the secretary shall or the secretary may. And we're going to look at every one of the items that were actions that were taken pursuant to those clauses and say, did they help patients or harm patients? If they harm patients, then we're going to do our best to get rid of them.
Look, neither the 2015 bill or because of reconciliation does this bill fully repeal it. I mean, and there are procedural difficulties to get that, and that's been a big criticism of a lot of people. And then, you know, then we've got a three-phase process, and you're right, that 1,442 times the secretary shall, the secretary may, there's an awful lot of discretion in there. And I guess talking to members and even some moderates and conservatives and Freedom Caucus people and study people, you know, I guess that you can't give a full answer right now because you have two other steps beyond tomorrow, assuming this bill passes, before we ever really get a full glimpse of what this is going to mean for the American people. Is that fair?
Well, the full glimpse that we can give is just take a look at the hundreds of regulations and literally the thousands of guidance letters that were put out that oftentimes have the authority and the power of a rule and say this is what we're going to look at and, again, determine whether it harms patients or helps patients, whether it drives up costs or drives down costs. And if it helps patients and drives down costs, then we ought to keep it. But the vast majority of them harm patients and drive up costs, and we ought to do something about that. But the process, the legal constitutional process that we must go through appropriately is defined by the Administrative Procedures Act. And that means that we have to publicize the intent of the department, give a period of time for the American people and interested parties to make comment, take in those comments in sincerity and objectively and determine whether or not they help the proposal that was put forward, and then come forward with the decision. So it's a process that has to occur. We can't game that system and say this is exactly what we're going to do because that's not what the process
and
the law provides.
Can you explain to my audience what the three beyond, you know, the 1,442 instances where you shall, the secretary shall have the ability, the secretary may make changes. Can you explain the three-step process so people understand it better?
Well, the process is just that, that you look at the rules and the regulations.
Well, let's start with the legislation. That's step one, correct?
This is the reconciliation legislation that's going through the Congress right now. And this is the reason that this is important is because it only requires a simple majority vote in the United States Senate of 51. It doesn't require the 60 votes that most policy does that comes to the Senate floor.
Phase two.
Because of that, there are certain constraints that they can't put in that because of the rules of the Budget Act that was adopted in 1974. Phase two are those things that we are doing at the Department of Health and Human Services right now and will continue to do until we've exhausted all of the things that harm patients and drive up costs. Those are the rules and regulations and literally thousands of guidance letters that were put in place by the previous administration. And then phase three are the legislative things, the things that need to change law that require 60 votes in the United States Senate and therefore have to be done in a different manner. And some of those have already passed. For example, the McCarran-Ferguson repeal yesterday or the day before passed in the House of Representatives, 416 or 417 to 2 or something like that. So many of these enjoy significant bipartisan support, but they can't be put in this initial piece of legislation because of the rules.
So what are you going to do now that you still have the Freedom Caucus guys that have enough votes to stop this bill from passing? What are you going to do between now and tomorrow morning to get this rolling?
Well, it's not just the Freedom Caucus folks. It's other members of the conference, the Tuesday group and the like, who when you push one where it
yep.
one place, it pushes something out elsewhere. And so we've got to bring everybody together and talk with them about whether or not they have a comfort level with this and move forward. I have the utmost confidence that we're going to be able to get it done.
And is there any specific way that you think you can thread this needle? Because there seems to be such a divergence in viewpoints on this.
Yeah, you just have to continue working with folks and explain why we're recommending inclusion of certain items within the legislation itself. What the rationale is for it, why it helps people out there in the real world, not here in Washington, D.C., why it makes it so that patients and families and doctors would be having more authority in healthcare as opposed to the federal government, and listening to their concerns and saying if there are things that you believe will assist in making it better, then we're happy to listen to it, understanding that the next step will be in the United States Senate, and we'll go through the same process there. But the tough legislation is tough to do, and then that's where we find ourselves right now, and it feels kind of like other legislation that's been difficult in the past.
All right, sir, thank you for your time. We're going to monitor all of this. I guess there'll be a series of procedural votes tonight starting at 8 Eastern. The Republican conference will meet at 7 Eastern. We'll have a lot more by 10 Eastern when we get on the air tonight. And a scheduled vote, I think, on the entire bill sometime tomorrow morning. Mr. Secretary, thank you, sir.
Thanks, Sean. Take care.
All right. When we come back, we'll hit the phones toll-free, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. All right. Our friends at the USCCA, they gave 10 winners a brand new Kimber last month. They got a new contest they're unveiling, and that is you can get the gun of your dreams. That's right. Whatever's at the top of your bucket list, any gun, any make, any model, any caliber, you pick it. And just go to defendfamily.com. Your entry is free. It's simple. It's easy. Detailed giveaways are very easy. You don't want to miss out. 10 responsibly armed Americans will each get $1,500 to buy the gun of their dreams. This all ends on May the 31st. No restrictions. And your entry to win the $1,500 is quick, simple, and it's totally free at defendfamily.com. Go there for official rules. Get your name on the entry list now. Defendfamily.com. All right, looks like the health care vote moved to tomorrow. We'll see what happens and whether or not we get a consensus bill here or not. All right, let's get to our busy phones. Janice in California. Janice, hey, how are you? And glad you called. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Sean. I wanted to share that, first of all, I'm very proud of the conservative members of making a stand. And it sounds like it's down to about 2 points they're holding out for. And they're obviously holding out for their constituents, and they're very brave to do it. I think they're doing it in a very respectful way to the president as well. I'd like to say I think our frustrations need to be pointed to Paul Ryan, and I'd love to see you keep holding his feet to the fire, because he keeps showing that he just wants he led us to believe there was consensus. There wasn't consensus. He was trying to push it down everyone's throat. The president is the one who seems to be more active in negotiating, which is awesome.
I'll be perfectly blunt with you. I think the president, I think by not building consensus and keeping it secret and not bringing in the differing factions, moderates, conservatives, the study group, the caucus group, I think is then put the president in the position of trying to clean up a mess.
Yeah.
And not of his own doing. And I think he's trying to the best of his ability. And I think it was an untenable position for him to be put in. That's my own take on this.
Absolutely. And I know I heard him say that he does trust Paul Ryan, but I'm sorry. I don't. He should have brought the people in. He should have allowed these men haven't changed their story and what they're requesting for their constituents and what's best for America. They're very consistent, saying the same things over and over again. So why didn't Paul Ryan listen? Why didn't he bring them in? So I think keep holding his feet to the fire. I loved your last interview with him, and I think we're going to need it going forward. You've been amazing in just this whole process.
All I'm really trying to do here is get a bill that is going to work on principles that I know work. And
right.
the principles are very, very basic and simple. I believe in free market competition, supply and demand crisscross and dictate price. The supply will increase. For example, if everybody is freed up health care money available to them, then what you're going to have are all of these insurance companies competing for your dollars. And the insurance companies that offer the best deal, the best coverage at the best price are going to be the most successful. You know, the cooperatives that have developed, like in Wichita, Kansas, they're going to be duplicated. You know, young people will get catastrophic plans with a medium to high deductible, and they're covered if they have a heart attack, a bad accident, or, God forbid, get cancer. All right, we'll stay with the phones when we get back, and then we're going to get to the Devin Nunez comments also straight ahead. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. You know what? Let's get to some calls here. All right, so we're following all of these top stories today. Let me just to reiterate. Number one, the Schumer now has pledged. Let's play the – we didn't play the cut yet, did we? All right. I've been dealing with a lot behind the scenes today. All right, let's – and I'm trying to get an understanding. I'm working the phones, and I'm talking to every side of this deal, from the Freedom Caucus to the moderates to the friends that I have
in the executive branch. And, you know, I'm going to tell you what I really feel, because that's I feel the president has not been served here well. And it's Paul Ryan's job to get the legislation to the point where it gets passed. He in the House has the responsibility to advance the president's agenda. And he didn't reach out to all the different factions and groups. And now they're at each other's throats. And he left the president to end up cleaning up the mess that should have been dealt with before they rolled this out. That's really what it is. I'm just speaking truth to power here. Now the president is in a horrible position. Anyway, let's go to Chuck Schumer. He's going to filibuster Gorsuch, which, by the way, I'm happy about, and I'll explain.
After careful deliberation, I have concluded that I cannot support Judge Neil Gorsuch's nomination to the Supreme Court. His nomination will have a cloture vote. He will have to earn 60 votes for confirmation. My vote will be no, and I urge my colleagues to do the same. To my Republican friends who think that if Judge Gorsuch fails to reach 60 votes, we ought to change the rules, I say if this nominee cannot earn 60 votes, a bar met by each of President Obama's nominees and George Bush's last two nominees, the answer isn't to change the rules. It's to change the nominee.
The reason I now believe the nuclear options time has come is with all of the radical leftists, that Republicans being accommodating and trying to be kind and trying to be, you know, get along and play fair and be nice, etc. You know what? They're never going to give reciprocity to Republicans. So what's the point? Just use the nuclear option. Well, they're going to use it too. They already are using it. And Republicans are far too gentle in their fights. What is it? Why are you making faces at the TV that you're looking at
right
now?
I'm so sorry. I just, every time I look up today, there's another piece of breaking news. And honest to God, I can't keep up.
Well, what? Okay. Well, what just broke that I missed?
We don't know. That's why I'm staring with a blank stare. I'm saying, now what?
Every time you look up, there's a podium with a microphone that they keep going to. So we're like, is there another press conference? Another one?
All right. It doesn't matter. The vote's off. The vote will take place tomorrow. And sometime, I assume, between tonight and tomorrow, that they're going to probably come to some type of consensus and deal. And you know what? If they don't, then they don't. I think there's a way out of this, my own personal opinion. But you know what? Nobody's listened to me from the beginning. The process should have been handled differently from day one. You don't hide legislation in the CBO that people are guessing has bad things in it. And then all of a sudden it comes out and all the bad things that people are warning about is in it. And then you've got to move on from there. And you've got to now the president gets put in the position of being the Speaker of the House and working the phones and defending the legislation. It's not his job to write legislation. It's the principles that he lays out that he's supposed to want in his bill. You know, a three-step process, one-step process, no repeal, no replace. You know, it gets, if I'm confused, then the average voter's confused. And it should be understandable. Now, at the end of the day, can we still come up with health care savings accounts and cooperatives and repeal Obamacare and get rid of the mandates and all the things that have been wrong? Yeah, of course you can. There's ways to fix it. I'm personally not in any rush here. Maybe that's just my view. I'd rather get it right than rush it through. So let's see what happens. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, let's go to Barbara's in Baltimore, Maryland on WCBM. Hey, Barbara, how are you? Glad you called.
Sean.
Barbara.
I love you, man. I love you. I just love you.
I need a hug today. I'm glad you said that.
I tell you, I'm an insurance agent.
Yes, ma'am.
A 27-year veteran insurance agent. But everything you're saying, just stay on it. Stay on it.
I'm staying on it. Listen, I'm all I want here is a system that is rooted in free market, capitalism, and competition.
That's
all I want.
And guess what? Guess what? Sean. Oh, I love you, man. Oh, and thank you for the pen. I got a pen with my Donald Trump pen. my grandsons just love it. And my four-year-old grandson, he does a dance. He's got a dance doing too. We'll do that at the end of all this mess one day. I'll bring him up there.
The greatest president that God ever created.
Yeah, anyway. All right, enough of that. Listen, Barbara, you made my day, but you know something? Let's see what we...
All they have to do is let... When they start talking about Nationwide, Allstate, State Farm, Farmers, and all the big insurance companies, you never hear them talk about it, Sean. And you know why? Because they're excluded by the healthcare companies. I've been insurance licensed for 27 years and never wrote a health policy. And the reason is because it's a closed market. And I'm telling you, that's where it's at. And Paul Ryan has been deceitful. Donald Trump doesn't know anything about insurance. All he knows is that he wants this thing to work. They need to open it up. Rand Paul and the Freedom Caucus is on the right track. And all I can say is, let's help them to stick to that and open up the markets and watch what happens to healthcare. It becomes just like car insurance and life insurance.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. You made my day today. 800-941-SEAN. Evelyn is in North Carolina. What's going on, Evelyn? How are you? We're glad you called.
Sean? Oh, I'm really glad to talk to you. Let me tell you, Sean.
By the way, you're in North Carolina, but you're from New York. It's very, very obvious. I sound like Linda.
I've been here since 86, but I'm not turning Southern for anything.
No, we hear the way you talk, and you talk very much like a New Yorker. You don't sound like you're from North Carolina.
Well, you know, people say you have an accent. I just go back and say, so do you.
That's very funny. What's going on? What's on your mind today, Evelyn?
Well, let me tell you, Sean, it's such a pleasure to turn on the TV or turn on your show on the way home from work and hear real news, not the fake news, not, you know, just your top-of-the-head remarks. You're factual, and it's such a pleasure. I enjoy your show so much, and I enjoy you. I had the pleasure of seeing you in Fayetteville with, President-to-be Donald Trump.
I remember that. That was a great event, and that was the one with the veteran that was injured, and he was on the stage with us, right?
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. You were in another building, and I couldn't find the building. It was quite a walk from the place where...
Well, we can't have long walks at your age for crying out loud. No, listen, I'm just teasing you. Evelyn, you're not what's wrong with this country. You're what makes this country great. God bless you, okay?
Well, let me tell you, Sean, I love your monologues. They're so to the point.
Oh, wait till you hear tonight's. I'm coming out swinging tonight. You don't want to miss tonight.
I'll be listening, but I'll tell you another thing, that I wish they wouldn't come out with this health plan in pieces. Let's get it all together and present it as a bunch, you know, a one thing. Because what's going to happen is, you know, the Democrats are going to filibuster each and every point. We'll never get it done.
We'll get it. There's a way to get it done if they want to get it done. There's a way to solve the problem if we want to solve the problem. I'm not going to question whether or not people negotiate in good faith or not. But in all honesty, there's Evelyn, I promise you there's a way. All right. But I got to get to other calls. God bless you. I appreciate it. Jeff is in Idaho next. Jeff, how are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
Hey, I've been listening to you talk about this negotiation. And, you know, you and I have agreed on believing in Trump since day one. I fully believe that he's the only one that's in control right now and is comfortable. He's in the zone. He has got everybody out of the corners and in their secret whatever they've been doing and getting them out, negotiating, very hands-on. Trump really is the only one I trust in this negotiating process right now.
I will say this.
Congress's record.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? The fact that 8 years gone by and they didn't have a consensus bill, that's not Donald Trump's fault. The fact that they laid out a bill that wasn't a consensus bill, that's not Donald Trump's fault. The fact that he has reached out across the aisle, you know, across all aspects of the Republican Party,
and every coalition and every different group is a credit to him. This is not Donald Trump's fault. And this is
this is where his true leadership is. He knew that if he was going to get this passed through the swamp, he is going to have to drag these guys through the swamp. Especially Paul Ryan. Paul Ryan has his leadership is no credibility. Their record of getting it nothing done for all these years, and then this is why I think. Do you think we'd have anything good if Trump was a president today? If it was another one of the candidates that were.
Listen, I'm only telling you what I know and the facts as I see them, and I'm telling you that this didn't have to be this way. There was a better way to handle this, and that's
well,
that.
I
look,
think Trump is playing speaker. I think he's very handled.
Well, he's been handed. He was
in the previous 8 years.
He's been put in the position that he had to take on that role, and that's not his job. Now it's his job to push
absolutely.
For legislation that he really believes in. But I just think in this particular case, it was really mishandled. But we'll have to wait and see what happens. All right, I appreciate it. 800-941 Sean, Larry in Arizona. What's up, Larry? How are you?
Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
It's funny. I'm sitting here laughing because the previous caller was pretty much stealing my thunder. But, you know, like we said, there's a reason that Congress has such a low rating. And it's because they do stuff and have done stuff like they're doing now. They can't get anything done. Everybody's got their own agenda. And the bottom line is, when all is said and done, the only one that we can trust in this whole thing, and that's why he got to be elected president, is Donald Trump.
Exactly. You know what? And I do put more faith in him. You know, it's funny. I talked to a bunch of Freedom Caucus guys today, and they were very, very clear in that they trust Trump and they don't trust the speaker or the leadership. That's the leadership's problem. The people that they needed to build trust with, they ignored for 3 weeks. So,
You know, and like you said, we've been saying and you've been saying and other people have been saying they've had 8 years to get this right. Well, I also think the Freedom Caucus and all these other people that are objecting to all this stuff, they also had 8 years to make their voices known. And, you know, you got to be ready. And I don't think they were ready even themselves to confront what they're doing. And I think bottom line is that Mr. President is going to have to take every single solitary thing and walk this thing through if he's going to get it done, because they're going to keep playing politics, both sides.
Well, if they do, then they're going to make a mistake, because as a party, as a group, they promised to repeal and replace. But with that said, I would rather wait and I would rather get it right than have a bill that is not what is in the best interest of the American people. Anyway, I appreciate it. 800-941 Sean, real quick. Alan is in Maine. What's up, Alan? How are you?
Thank you so much, Sean. I can't believe I'm talking to you right now.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from the great state of Maine. I mean, up here we have lighthouses that protect us from hitting the shores, and that's how I consider you, Sean. You're a lighthouse for us. I mean, if it wasn't for you, I mean, those long days at work when I don't even get the news and stuff. I mean, I'd come home, I listen to you. I mean, I'm so sick of the fake news. It's unbelievable. I mean, they want me to believe what they're saying, and every time I turn the news on, all I can hear is the background music to Barnival Bailey Circus. Because I mean, if it wasn't for you guys out there preaching the truth, when the truth needs to be told, I mean, who knows where we would be, Sean. I'm telling you. I mean, just look at how they're playing the Russian deal. I mean, if anybody can believe that, I mean, holy cow! I got some ice up in Alaska. I can tell you. I mean, look at the Israeli election. There's a man that messed an election, Obama. And that burns my
yeah, exactly.
So bad right there.
All right, I appreciate it, Sean. Listen, you're. But this is like the be nice to Hannity hour. Look, my job is to hold them accountable for you. Let's get the bill right. Let's not worry about all this other nonsense. We also have the issue at the top of the next hour of all of the new developments. Devin Nunes actually saying that, yeah, they did surveil the president-elect. They did surveil his transition team. And this is beyond scary, but it's also what we've been telling you now for over 2 weeks happened, and very few people paid attention. Now maybe they'll pay attention. Hey, listen, you've got to protect your home, and you don't want one of these security companies coming into your house, drilling, you know, holes in your walls. Many installation appointments takes forever. You pay a fortune, locking you in contracts that cost a fortune every month that go on for years and years. you know, protecting your home is a smart thing to do. Protecting your family is a smart thing to do. There is a new answer, SimpliSafe Home Security, 24/7 professionally monitored home security that you get online. Each SimpliSafe system is a thoughtfully assembled security arsenal, entry, motion sensors, high-D security cameras, everything you need to keep your family safe. CNET called SimpliSafe comprehensive, simple to use, and editor's choice for home security. Now, you can get your own SimpliSafe home security system very quickly by the end of the week with a 10% discount. Use this website, SimpliSafeHannity.com. One word, SimpliSafeHannity.com, and you get 10% off your security system. SimpliSafeHannity.com. All right, news roundup and information overload hour here on the Sean Hannity Show. Following a bunch of stories today, the aftermath of London. We've got Senate Minority Leader Chuckie Schumer promising to filibuster Neil Gorsuch. No surprise on that. We, of course, are following the health care vote, and we are continuing our coverage of all of these issues, not the least of, I think, one of the most important issues of the day, and that is we talk about Congressman Devin Nunes. And what he said.
I recently confirmed that on numerous occasions, the intelligence community incidentally collected information about U.S. citizens involved in the Trump transition. Details about U.S. persons associated with the incoming administration, details with little or no apparent foreign intelligence value, were widely disseminated in intelligence community reporting. Third, I have confirmed that additional names of Trump transition team members were unmasked.
From what I know right now, it looks like incidental collection. We don't know exactly how that was picked up, but we're trying to get to the bottom of it. I believe it was all done legally. I think it was all obtained legally. It appears most of this occurred, from what I've seen, in November, December, and January during the transition. I have seen intelligence reports that clearly show that the president-elect and his team were, I guess, at least monitored and disseminated out in intelligence reporting channels.
Are you saying the surveillance, if it wasn't related to Russia or anything like that, are you saying that it was political surveillance of political opponents, as the president has suggested in his tweets?
What I've read bothers me, and I think it should bother the president himself and his team. Because I think some of it seems to be inappropriate.
Did President Obama order any kind of surveillance of the president, the president-elect?
We don't know who sent the taskings. If the taskings were changed into what went into these intelligence reports, but we're going to try to find that out.
Can you rule out the possibility that senior Obama administration officials were involved in this?
No, we cannot.
All right, there you hear Devin Nunes. This is blockbuster information. And what did they know? When did they know it? Who knew what, when, and where? And we have more questions today than we have answers. Joining us now on our Newsmaker line, we have three people that have been following these issues very closely. Sarah Carter is the senior editor for Circa.com. She, along with her colleague, John Solomon, have been telling you all of this information for the better part of 2.5 weeks on this program and on my television program. Bill Binney, 32-year veteran at the NSA, whistleblower. He's the one that's been telling us that, in fact, every phone call, every text, every email is, in fact, monitored, metadata, and stored by the government. And he joins us as well as Kirk Wiebe, former senior analyst for the NSA. Sarah, this really, to me, just confirmed what Congressman Nunes said. It really just confirms everything that you and John Solomon have been reporting. Let's pick up from where you started and what he said yesterday and how this all connects.
Well, I remember I was thinking about that the other day, Sean, when I broke my first story on the Department of Justice. And it was about the investigation. And the sources that I spoke with said there is a narrow range of people that can actually access this information, unmask it. That means give permission to unmask this information and disseminate it to intelligence agencies. So I broke that story. John and I continued to break story after story on this regarding the server in Trump Tower, regarding the FBI's investigation into the Russian hacking. We were able to confirm that there was an FBI investigation into Russian hacking and that the server was a separate traditional investigation that was closed down immediately because they didn't find any criminality or any evidence with the server.
But we got to go back. Let me stop you here. Well, not because I want to interrupt you and be rude, but I want to put a fine point on this. When the FBI director, excuse me, testified earlier this week before the House Intelligence Committee, he acknowledged that this investigation was ongoing and still ongoing. Your reporting has said they found nothing.
That is correct. Up until this date, unless something new comes out later that we had no idea about, but up until this date, according to all the sources that we spoke with, the story was vetted very, very heavily. They had no evidence to date to charge neither Trump or anyone on his team with anything criminal with relation to the Russian hacking.
Okay, so there's no evidence. Now, when you take what Congressman Nunes says, and he even went further in saying that this bothers him, and I'll know more at the bottom of this half hour, and you put it together with what you have reported and what the FBI director said this week, then I guess my next question to you is, where is this going? Where did these leaks come from? Who knew about the investigation? How much surveillance took place? They might say it's incidental, but in the case of General Flynn, we know that they didn't minimize as the Espionage Act requires, and they leaked it, which the Espionage Act says is a felony punishable up to 5 years in jail.
Yeah, I can tell you that I've been speaking to U.S. officials today, and there are a number of people very concerned. They said if what Nunes revealed is actually fact, and they are able to show that these communications were disseminated with nothing to do with Russia, and it appears to be political, it's a violation of the civil liberties of all Americans. This is probably one of the biggest stories, political stories, since Watergate. And there is going to be, I believe, there needs to be a very deep investigation. A lot of this stuff is classified, Sean. You know, it's very difficult for us to get our hands on that Chairman Nunes may be able to get his hands on. I know for us it's going to be extremely difficult, but according to U.S. officials, I mean, the collection of this incidental information, and I don't even know what that means exactly, has serious repercussions and implications for our personal privacy.
Let me go to Bill Binney. Bill, you've been very outspoken, 32-year NSA veteran, and you know, you're the one that's telling us that all this metadata is being stored on every single person, and you hear what Devin Nunes said, and you hear about, quote, incidentally, that the president-elect and his team, his transition team, were surveilled. What is your reaction?
Well, first let me say that Comey has known about this, quote, incidental collection, which is everything on the fiber lines inside the United States. He's known about it since the hospital visit in 2004. That was all about the Stellar Wind program, which is the domestic spying program, and that's done by the upstream processing of tapping the fiber lines inside the country by the Fairview program, the Stormbrew program, the Blarney program, and several others. But those are the main ones collecting content and metadata on every U.S. citizen inside the country. And that's what they're going. And then all they have to do, if they want to find something about President Trump, they simply go in and use his data to find out what's in there on him. And they can retroactively analyze it all the way back to at least 2001.
You know, Kirk, let me ask you from this standpoint, if it's incidental, well, that tells me that's almost the exact same thing that happened to General Flynn. And then the general practices that I understand them, is minimization and no leaking whatsoever. Now we now have to ask, well, okay, why did Devin Nunes said that this was widely dispersed and, in fact, that they were able to identify the individuals, the Americans, that were being surveilled as a part of the course of their business of surveilling foreign entities? That, to me, unveiling or unmasking, as we call it, you know, should never have happened. Am I right? Does that then raise the specter of the question why Executive Order 12333 then allowed the sharing with 16 other agencies?
Well, absolutely, Sean, you're spot on. When I look at what Nunez said, when I look at what Sarah and her colleague, Mr. Solomon, are reporting, and I have a few sources myself of ex-intel people, we're pretty much unanimous in believing that this was purposeful targeting of an American or American citizens, plural, probably for political purposes. And it may have even been the DOJ who weasel-worded a request to FISA to get it theoretically okayed, but hiding behind the legality of FISA when, in fact, it's a corrupt practice when you do that. The point of it is,
So are you saying this is basically a ruse that this, in other words, there was a FISA warrant, as Sarah says, there was a criminal warrant, as Sarah says, but it wasn't specifically against Trump himself, the president-elect himself, but it was into the Russian hacking issue. And as part of that, they got into the Trump Tower servers. And then they're saying now also they had incidental surveillance. In other words, if the president-elect was talking to a foreign leader and they were tapping that foreign leader, that means they were listening in on that call.
Absolutely, Sean. That's what I am saying.
And you're saying this is a ruse. This is just an excuse to spy on the president.
The FISA part.
Wow.
That makes it sound legal. Remember when Nunez said this was legal? That gives it that legal stamp. But when you find the motivation for it, and what did they say to FISA? Did they misrepresent the facts? That is what is key here. Now, somebody, some analyst, and let me clarify incidental collection. It's really important to understand. It makes it sound, though, it's accidental. Do not make that substitution in words in your mind. There is no incidental collection if you think collection is the gathering of data off the Internet, the fiber optic lines. It's all done purposefully, and they get it all. What they are calling incidental is when a human being listens to the targeted data, in this case, probably a foreigner, and the opposite end of that communication, email, or phone call is an American. Mm-hmm. They're calling that incidental, that it's somehow built in, and the analyst doesn't really want to listen to that American citizen, but they can. But when they do that and they want to make it an official record, such as a transcript or a report, they must get authorization from FISA to do it.
All right. Stay right there, all of you. We'll get reaction from Sarah Carter, Bill Binney when we get back. Also, we include Kirk Wiebe. Look, we all have to shave, right? Men and women, we all shave. All right. Everybody here at the Sean Hannity Show agrees on one thing, and that is the executive blade from the Dollar Shave Club is the best razor all of us have ever used by far. Now, when you become a member of the DollarShaveClub.com, and it's DollarShaveClub.com/Hannity, you don't pay to be a member. You only pay for the items that you buy. They also have other great grooming products, hair products, Dr. Carver's shave butter, everything you need to be clean and healthy and smell great. All right, it's all there. And the best part is you don't pay to join. You only buy the things that you want and the things that you need. You get a far superior product for about a third of what you'll pay in any store, and it's conveniently left, you know, right on your doorstep because it comes in the mail. You don't have to go to the drugstore anymore. You don't have to get it at the grocery store anymore. It's so much better. A third of the price, a better product delivered to your home. And they've got so many other great grooming products. By the way, if you've never tried it, they're going to give a one-month free trial for you. Well, not free, but you can try any one of their razors. I like the executive the best for $1 free shipping. After that, it's a few bucks a month. It's that simple. No long-term commitment, no hidden fees. You don't pay to join. You cancel anytime you want. So just go to DollarShaveClub.com/Hannity. You're going to love this, I promise you. It's so convenient, and it's such a good product. DollarShaveClub.com/Hannity. We'll continue. All right, as we continue, the big bombshell that was released by the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes yesterday. We continue with Bill Binney and Kirk Wiebe, both worked for the NSA for many, many years. Sarah Carter with Circa.com has been ahead of this. All right. Do you agree with what Bill and Kirk are saying, that in many ways this really wasn't about them doing surveillance or incidental surveillance, and it just so happened that they picked up the president-elect's calls and the transition team's calls? You don't agree with that, do you, Sarah?
No. I mean, I think that in a sense that when you're looking at this, they talk about it being legal surveillance activities. Okay, the surveillance activities, the FISA was put in on Russia, those are legal. But as we heard from Chairman Nunez, this went far beyond Russia. This went far beyond even the illegal leaking and exposure of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn's name to the public. I mean, there is a lot of information floating around out there, and Chairman Nunez said that's why he felt compelled to go to the president, because he's like, wait, we're seeing reports here of communications between not only the president, but people around the president, surrounding the president from November through January, that are out there in intelligence reports that are accessible to the possibility of a lot of people and the possibility of leaks. And this goes far beyond the scope of what he, I think he's suggesting, was the intention of the information. And somebody needs to answer to this. I mean, what I'm hearing from the intelligence community, from members of the intelligence community, is that they are being dragged in into a political haystorm. There are people within the intelligence community that want to be able to do their jobs. They want to be able to do the right thing. And now they are going to be targeted by the American public because they're going to be looking like they're partisan or like they're working against our own government. And I think there needs to be some clarity here so not only we could unmask this, who was responsible for this, but also maybe alleviate a little bit of what the intelligence community is feeling right now.
I think that's a great observation. But there are those clearly within the intelligence community. Whoever gave this to Devin Nunes, Sarah, wanted him to know that there are good people in the intelligence community that do not like what has been happening.
Absolutely. And this is the reason why John and I were able to do these stories the last several weeks. I mean, there are people within law enforcement and within the intelligence community that want to get the truth out there. They want this to stop. I mean, this is a violation of, you know, constitutional and civil rights. If it appears this way, you know, people's names being unmasked, Americans' names being unmasked, government officials, the possibility that this has all been politicized, but in such a way that it's not just like using a political idea that's out there or talking about a political option, something that's out in the public. This is about going into very highly classified communications records and using it against opponents, if that ends up being the case. And whoever has decided to leak these documents, I mean, I believe that they might be the answer to all of it.
Wow. Bill Binney, last word.
Well, first of all of this minimization process, none of the data in NSA databases is minimized. It only gets minimized when somebody makes a query into it if they're an NSA analyst. For example, with FBI and CIA, there's no minimization process that I know of that goes on there. So that and the numbers of people who are involved in looking at it are all the system administrators and all the programmers at NSA. I mean, that's
wow.
That must be several thousand people.
All right, I'm going to have to run. You guys are amazing, all of you, and we'll have a lot more on this tonight on Hannity, 10 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Thank you, Bill Binney. You've been a rock star. Kirk, you're incredible. Your analysis is dead on. Thank you all for being with us.
Quick break. Right back. We'll continue.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. Toll-free our telephone numbers, 800-941-SHAWN, if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. All right, let's get to our busy phones. Look, so much happening today. The aftermath of the London bombing, which we have been mentioning. You know what? You know what's sad? These events happen. We talk about them. It's a big news story. And then we move on the next day, and it's like, okay, we forgot it already. You know, I really fear, I said this to Linda earlier today, I really fear it's going to take another 9/11 to really awaken people. I just think about this. You had all these people killed. I think the final tally was 5 killed yesterday. Over 40 people severely injured. This is one guy, no bomb, no acid, no biological weapons, no, you know, nothing major. An 8-inch knife. And look at the wreckage and the damage and the headlines. We're all outraged, rightly so. We pray for the victims and their families. And then the next day, oh, it's just another radical Islamist. So, you know, this is not the way it has to be. The way it needs to be is that we are safe and secure in our own country. And if we don't learn from the Islamization of Europe, that means France and Germany and Belgium and Great Britain and all throughout Europe. Then we're destined to have the same problems existing here, which, by the way, already exist here. You know, I remember Bibi Netanyahu would always say, well, Israel's viewed as the little Satan. It's America, the big Satan that they really want to be at war with. And coming to a theater near you, that's how Prime Minister Netanyahu once ended a interview with me, coming to a theater near you.
This is a danger I've been pointing to. It's not a spin. It's not a whim. It is a clinical diagnosis of a pathological movement that is sweeping our area, but will soon come to a theater near you. It has to be stopped now.
All right, let's get to our busy telephones here as we say hi to, is it Charlotte? Is it in Oregon? Charlotte, how are you? Glad you called.
Yes, hello, Sean. Thank you for taking my call. On Tuesday, I heard Ann Coulter on your program talking about the different Christian healthcare ministries. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And so I just wanted to let you know that in 2011, my husband and I joined one of those and had not needed to use it. And about a year ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, and I'm just 2 months out of all my treatments now. Every cent of it was paid for. The great thing, no pre-authorization was needed because it's not traditional insurance. So I was able to have my surgery immediately. My first treatment was 2 days after seeing the doctor. That's really important for cancer patients or people with life-threatening things to be able to get prompt medical attention, and I am so glad that that's what I have for insurance.
Well, I can tell you that all of these cooperatives like Atlas MD in Wichita, Kansas, and Dr. Umber, and you're right, you know, Christian Healthcare, other cooperatives, they seem to be working the best. Now, as I understand it, we were asking the Health and Human Services Secretary earlier in the program today, you know, all right, does this legislation allow for all of these new paradigms? And his answer is absolutely, positively yes. You know, part of going the free market route, which is what we conservatives have been saying from the beginning, the great blessing of it is all of these new models then begin to pop up and exist. And they cater to individual communities. They cater to individual needs. They allow the powers of groups to buy at reduced rates and negotiate more care for less money than they otherwise would get. And that's the blessing of the free market, and you're, you know, that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't have to worry about that part of it at all.
Yeah. So. All right, good for you. And I think a lot of that's going to come out of it. All right, appreciate it. Thank you so much, Charlotte. 800-941. Sean, Justin is in North Carolina. What's
Hello?
Up, Justin? How are you?
Hi, my name is Justin. I'm in North Dakota, and it's an honor to speak with Mr. Hannity. I believe that if they were to have the healthcare providers show a basic list of costs, it could totally change the system around.
So what's the matter? Are you on a treadmill? You're running up a stairs? What are you doing here?
Yeah. I'm working. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's all right. No worries. I used to call talk radio shows when I was working, too. All right. Well, so say it again.
Okay. I believe that if they are to have the healthcare providers show a basic list of their costs for services, that it would revolutionize the industry because they'd be forced to make their money in volume, and so their systems would be streamlined, which, since costs would be lowered, more people would come in, and that combined with the policies of the good doctor that was on yesterday, I believe would do a great deal for the healthcare industry.
Yeah, look, I think you're making a lot. I hear what you're saying. Look, you're cracking me up, though, because you're reminding me. I used to call radio shows from 40 feet up in the air on a ladder, hanging from the ladder, and it was ridiculous. I said, hang on, I'm on a ladder here. Whoa, you know, hang on, I'll be right there. Look, I'm going to repeat what I said to the last caller, and that is that new free market capitalism works. What does capitalism do? You have supply and demand, you crisscross, and it dictates the price. Okay, everybody needs health care, so there's a big demand for health care. All right, then you have healthcare providers. When you have free markets and you don't have mandates and you don't have government top-down plans that you have to choose from, well, then that means you're going to pick the plan that best works for you. If it's a local community cooperative and it's, you know, whatever it happens to be. You know, if I'm a young person, I'm getting catastrophic insurance that allows me to get one checkup a year. And then if I have a heart attack, get in a bad accident, or if I get cancer, God forbid, I'm covered. That's insurance, okay? But if you want, you know, if you need stitches, you may have to pay that out of pocket. But if you're part of a co-op like Dr. Umber's Atlas MD, then, okay, then that's all covered. You have unlimited care. Does that make sense?
They never have to. Yeah, but if the healthcare industry never has to illuminate what they're going to charge you beforehand, how can they work the system from a basic cost point of view. I don't know.
All right. I appreciate the call, Justin. Thank you. 800-941-SHAWN. You want to be a part of the program. All right. Kate is in Houston, Texas. KTRH. Hey, Kate, how are you? And welcome to our friends from Houston. What's happening?
Hey, Sean. So I got two things. One not so serious, like really brief, and then one very serious about yesterday's bombshell. What do you want?
Whatever you.
I'll let you choose.
I'm not going to pick the topic. You get to call and say what you want.
Okay. So the first one, I'm going to make fun of you. The funny thing, I'm going to kind of make fun of you just a little bit. But then I want to talk about the serious thing. You know the lady that called in on your show about your tie and how it's always a little bit to the right?
Right. Yeah, I remember that on my TV show on the Hannity Hotline. Yeah.
I know. It's true. I got to tell you, it's always a little to the right. I didn't want to believe her, but like every time I just want to scoot it over to look to the left.
Listen, maybe it's me. I spend 30 seconds getting makeup on every night, and I comb my own hair, and somebody sprays it so it doesn't move.
But you're a cutie. You're a cutie. I mean, it's not about the tie, but I'm just saying. Okay,
all right.
Here we get serious. So this Nunes bombshell yesterday. Unbelievable, right?
Yep.
Unbelievable.
It's massive.
What I love about it is that, to me, it only proves this whole entire deep state situation that we've gotten going on. I mean, props to you. You've been way ahead of the game. You, Sarah Carter, John, always putting them out there. It proves it. Here's Nunes. He sees something so incredible that he has to run straight to the president. Then he comes out. It's inappropriate. That's the word that he says, right? Which, to me, only can connotate that there's some type of subterfuge going on. I mean, that's all I see. It's got nothing to do with Russia. There is no Russia story. You've only proven that over and over again.
Right.
And then we've got Adam Schiff, who drives me crazy. I mean, I can barely watch the guy. It's truly, it's like, honestly, like a fly that's swatting around. I just want to swat at me, just kind of, you know, saying the same crap every time, gets out there and publicly says and condemns him, well, he's come out, and this now means that we can't have an investigation that's fair. Well, he's doing the exact same thing. He ran to the microphone in the exact same way, saying, well, he's inappropriate and he hasn't shown us this information. Well, why do you think that he didn't show him the information?
Such a good point. Of course. Listen, I think what's going to happen is, as I've been predicting, I think all this information is going to be accumulated. We're going to learn more and more how political all of this Russia stuff is. And what we're going to learn is that there are highly sourced, top-level Obama holdover sympathizing, agenda-sympathizing ideologues that are purposely trying to hurt the current president. That's where this is going to end. There's also, I suggest to you, too, this is going to end with people going to jail for violating the law and leaking intelligence information. There's going to be prosecutions at the end of this. I also believe there's going to be political connections to all of this. And I think it's going to go very high up in the intelligence community. I personally do not believe it's the rank and file intelligence officer that works hard every day to protect our country that is involved in this. We'll find out how high up the deep state goes. And at the end of the day, if it is what I think it is, this may be the biggest scandal in American history when it's all said and done. It has the potential, I can tell you that. All right, Christy is in Mobile in Alabama. Christy, hi, how are you? And we're glad you called.
Hi, how are you doing, Sean?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Actually, what I feel is the whole Russia collusion is just smoke and mirrors on behalf of the Democrats. You know, the old saying of when you're pointing your finger at someone, you have three more pointing back at you. We really need to find out what those other three fingers are pointing back at. What is it they're trying to cover up by continually yelling, oh, it's collusion with Russia on behalf of Trump?
Well, there's no evidence of it. James Clapper said it. This week we had Admiral Rogers say it, and we had James Comey say it. So, you know, the fact that the media fixates, focuses, and is obsessed with it, well, they're just advancing their agenda.
Exactly, and that's a problem that I've had with some of my liberal and Democratic friends. All they watch is CNN, MSNBC, and Fox is the devil, in their view. It's constantly, oh, well, you know, he must be colluding with Russia or they wouldn't continue to investigate. But for me, it's as if the Democrats are trying to cover up other issues that they have by saying Russia, 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 Trump is colluding with Russia and pulling back, you know, from 10 years ago, over 10 years ago, you know, Manafort worked for a company in Russia. It's just, it's a constant bash of, you know, let's talk about Russia. And it's never, you know, well, the Democrats have been doing things with Russia, the Iranian deal, and so on and so forth. It's never, let's look at what's happened with the Democratic side. It's constantly, well, Trump must be getting something out of Putin in order to have won the election.
You know what the funny thing is, when you talk to Trump, he'll tell you he's never talked to Putin. Never.
Right.
He's never had a conversation with the guy. So why is that even an issue? Anyway, good
exactly.
call. Appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. Back to our phones. Kim in New Orleans. Kim, how are you? Glad you called.
Great, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. What's happening? Busy day, I'll tell you.
Very busy. I'm kind of mad at Trump for not taking the prime opportunity to call out the New York Times et al. For being fake news after he tweeted, after he tweeted about being surveilled and they all screamed, "You have no proof. You have no proof." He could have just turned around and said, "Wait a minute. You're the ones who said I was wiretapped."
Well, actually, he has said that, but but they, of course, they're not going to. Look, if it ends up on page A1, Trump wiretapped on January 20th, if they ever did a correction, which is not going to happen, why would they ever do that? Because, again, they're basically state-run propaganda media. They are the opposition. If they ever did have a correction of any kind, it's going to be buried page 838, bottom left, and small print, and it'll be three words.
Oh, they won't do a correction, but he just could have said, "So you're saying you're the fake news because you're the ones who reported it. You are my source."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right, good call. Appreciate it.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. If you're in a situation where you feel threatened, well, instinct, that might drive you to reach for a lethal means immediately. But we all want to avoid the irreversible consequences of using deadly force. Now, enter the Byrna, less lethal pistol launcher. It is equipped with tear gas and kinetic ammo. It can incapacitate any attacker for up to 40 minutes. It's legal in all 50 states. It requires no background checks, and it can be shipped right to your door. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity right now, and you'll get 10% off. Hollywood is under siege from an external force. Now, the same Hollywood that sold the American dream, they are now making nightmares a reality. Many major films make choices to appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Now you can join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in the Hollywood Takeover brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP exerts control over some of the major studios. Now don't miss the most important documentary about Hollywood yet. And for a limited time, you can watch the first 10 minutes for free at HollywoodTakeover.com/Sean, S-E-A-N. Hey, warmer days remind us of fond summer memories. Now you can make those moments year-round with the Michael Phelps Swim Spa by our friends at Master Spas, and that combines the leisure of a hot tub with the exercise benefits of a pool. Now, Master Spas technology is incredible with LED lighting, beautiful waterfalls, and those super powerful water jets installed in just one day. You're going to love it. Proudly made in America, use the promo code Hannity in the upper right-hand corner. That's masterspas.com for up to $1,000 off. You can exercise, relax, recover with the only hot tub and swim spa brand I trust, masterspas.com.